NHL draft is coming. Brian Burke, what kind of a draft are we looking at?
One defenseman rated in the top 10. That doesn't happen. Now, in their final ranking, they put the Fleury kid up there from Red Deer. So now there's two defensemen rated in the top 10. But all year long, it's been, okay, you got Aaron Ekblad, and then you got nine forwards. No goalies. Very unusual. Very unusual. Usually there's three or four defensemen in there. So what I think you're going to see teams do this year, which is unusual, is they're going to draft a type of player instead of the best player.
That was Brian Burke, the president of Hockey Ops with the Flames yesterday. As we get set for a conversation, very pleased to be joined by, from the Redline Report, Chief Scout Kyle Woodleaf. Kyle, thanks for doing this, man. It's good to finally hook up with you. How are things?
Everything's going good, guys.
Excellent.
Nice to be on with you.
Yeah, nice to get you. You heard Brian Burke there. Two defensemen, maybe they bookend the top 10. Maybe Hayden Fleury sneaks up a little bit. But it is a unique draft in that there's one blue chip defenseman and then there's that gap. There are no goaltenders. And even among the forwards, there's great debate as to who the top forward should be. I'm trying to think, and over the last few drafts, there's been more consensus, I think, than this year.
Absolutely. I mean, and you see that typically in weaker draft crops where, you know, it's not maybe as great at the top end or as deep in terms of the depth down into the first round and into the second round. It's typical of what you see. There's less consensus, and you'll see more what people would consider crazy off-the-board type picks as you get into the late first round and into the second round even, because there will be so few players that teams actually like that they'll get fixated on one player they really fall in love with and say, okay, you know, we don't think he's going to be there 30 picks from now when our next pick comes up, so we better roll the dice and pick him now.
Yeah. I know that you, in the work that you do, obviously for the Redline Report, you also work with USA Today, you'd kind of worked through the forwards. And I guess for the purposes of Calgary Flames fans, I would think that the likelihood of either them moving up to number one to get Aaron Ekblad or that Ekblad would fall a la Seth Jones from a year ago to four is highly unlikely this year. What about would you agree with that? Is that fair?
I would absolutely say that's true. I think the first two players off the board, regardless of whether there's a trade at number one or not, I think will probably be Sam Bennett and Aaron Ekblad. And I think that means that Calgary drafting at four will be choosing from either, you know, Sam Reinhart or Leon Draisaitl. If Edmonton stays with the number three pick and doesn't move up to number one, I think Draisaitl is the better pick for them because they need a bigger, strong, you know, center presence up the middle of the ice. So I think Draisaitl is probably a little bit better fit for them at number three, and that would leave Reinhart at number four for Calgary.
That would seem to be like finding money in the street for the Calgary Flames, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but you look at last year's draft. You don't have to go back that far to see that much stranger things have happened. Seth Jones went number four last year, so
yeah.
it's not a stretch to see Sam Reinhart at number four this year.
Yeah, we've been talking about it this morning, Kyle, knowing that you were coming on, and it's a scenario that I don't think we, at least here at the station, in our discussions that have been going on for a long time, as you can imagine, it's just one of the scenarios we've not played out. It felt like maybe because of his skill, and we all hear about his high IQ. Brian Burke yesterday called him Albert Einstein on skates. Just felt like that was going to have him maybe at the two spot. Tell me a little bit about Sam Bennett and why you feel he might be the first of the two Sams to go, in this case, potentially to Buffalo.
Well, I mean, Sam Bennett is, the way I would refer to him is a better skating Doug Gilmore. He's just such a team leader. He took over a franchise by the throat in Kingston that has had a losing culture for such a long time and single-handedly turned that franchise's culture around with his desire and his determination and his gritty play, and he puts that all together in a package with some really high-end skills. And with Buffalo's new GM being Tim Murray, I mean, Sam Bennett is to a T the type of player that Tim Murray loves to draft, so I can't see him getting by number two at Buffalo.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a neat the perspective you have on Tim Murray. Just because he's a new general manager doesn't mean there's a track record there. And I think that the more reading you do and the more people that are closer to Tim Murray than certainly we are here in the West, there is a specific style of player. And with some of the players that Buffalo has drafted, Zadorov's a big kind of a nasty defenseman. Jurgensen shows he's got a bit of bite. It would seem like not only was he a great fit for the Sabres, but that's already a bit of a team that's to his liking.
Well, I mean, the Sabres, it's actually a pretty good situation that Tim comes into, because they've had two high first-round draft picks each of the last 2 years. And, you know, as you mentioned, last year they got two big defensemen in the Finn, Rasmus Ristolainen, and the Russian Nikita Zadorov. The year before that, they took Gergensen's and the Russian stud Grigorenko. So they also, last year at the top end of the second round, got a kid who I thought was a top 20 player last year in JT Compher. So in effect, they had three first-rounders last year.
Yeah. Chatting with Kyle Woodley from the Redline Report, just kind of going over notes here. Leon Draisaitl, we hear a lot of maybe inconsistencies where when he's on, he's great and he's unlike any player in this draft, but he will disappear a bit. We talked to his general manager a couple days ago and he said, well, some of that is team-based. The Raiders were not they did make the playoffs, but barely in the Western Hockey League. And I wonder if he would have played with more skilled players or been on a different team, what we'd be saying about Leon Draisaitl today as compared to, like you say, maybe being a number two, three, or four pick.
Yeah, certainly any one of those top four guys could go number one, and it wouldn't be a surprise. It would not be a surprise if Draisaitl was a first overall pick in this year's draft. I know Bruno Campesi real well and Prince Albert, and he will tell you nothing but glowing things about the kid's character off the ice. And he obviously didn't play against top-level competition coming up in Germany for a kid who's only been in North America for 2 years and playing in, the roughest of the three Canadian junior leagues in the dub. He has really responded to North American hockey quite well, and also just played very well in the men's senior world championships over in Minsk, playing against men who are, 30, 32 years old. He's the one guy physically I'm quite certain could step in and play in the NHL next year.
Right. Now, Sam Reinhart, and again, just kind of we're working through scenarios, none of them which may play out, but if it's Ekblad at one, and then if the Sabres do really take a liking to Sam Bennett and Draisaitl, the bigger body makes sense for the Oilers. They don't need another, maybe small isn't even the right word, but Sam Reinhart would make sense for the Flames if he's there. What is it about Sam Reinhart that, not that people need to be leery about, not that there's warts in his game, but he's a little bigger, I think, maybe, than people give him credit for. I think you think of him as being a smaller guy. He is 6'1". He's 182 pounds. He's bigger than Bennett. What is it about Sam Reinhart that there would be concern about with his game?
The skating, for sure. I mean, his skating is very average. He doesn't have a great first-step burst, and his top-end gear is not, he doesn't have that separation gear. So I think the skating is number one. And as you mentioned, people don't realize he's 6'1", 182 pounds, but he's not ever going to be, a guy who plays a really hard, hard game. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a skills guy, and he's not going to be a guy who's going to go in there busting it into the corners and, hammering guys along the walls and coming out with loose pucks.
I always wonder where intangibles come in. And for a case like Reinhart, the one thing you always hear is just how smart he is, his hockey IQ, more than anything else. Like you say, you don't hear anything about his skating or his size, but it's all about how smart he is. Can you overrate that? Or is that the number one thing you take into account when you're drafting players at this age? If they're smart, you can't teach that.
That is the number one thing that you look for as a scout. I mean, skating is right up there along with hockey sense, but, as you said, Brian Berger referred to him as an Einstein on skates, and it's true. I mean, there's nobody in this year's draft who has the kind of native intelligence and hockey sense that this kid has, and that can cover up for a lot of warts.
Yeah.
I mean, his skating is not, it's not bad. It's just that it's not, elite end, and the fact that he anticipates so well and, what I like to say is he doesn't go where the puck is. He goes where the puck's going to be 2 or 3 seconds from now.
Yeah.
So, he's just got that innate ability and feel, particularly around the offensive zone, to know where he needs to be and when he needs to get there.
Kyle Woodley from the Red Line Report. You can find them online, redlinereport.com. Want to ask you about Jake Virtanen, because there seems to be a lot of, because of the shoulder injury, there's maybe some concern there, but Virtanen, based on shot and speed, he seems NHL ready. What is it? Tell us a little bit about what you've seen this year from Jake Virtanen.
I love Jake Virtanen. If he had the kind of hockey sense that that Sam Reinhart has, we'd be talking about him as a clear-cut number one, because that's pretty much all he lacks. He's not a guy who has great hockey IQ and really sees the whole ice well, but other than that, he has the best package of physical tools in the entire draft. I mean, he's a killer out there, big, strong, physical guy who can skate like the wind, just crushes people around the corners and along the walls. Has the best shot release in the entire draft. I mean, he's got a heavy, hard shot with just a great release. And if he decides to drop the gloves, you're in trouble because he's nasty. So, this is a guy who would actually be a really nice Brian Burke type of pick. I mean, I would see a Brian Burke as really liking a kid like Virtanen.
So at four, is it too much of a reach?
I don't think so. I mean, if Calgary was going to go for somebody outside of that top four grouping, Virtanen would be the guy that I would think that Brian Burke would perhaps fall in love with.
Another player that he brought up yesterday was Nick Ritchie out of Peterborough. There's size, and then there's Nick Ritchie, 6'3", 230, and maybe we'll get bigger. Burke kind of likened him to a Lucic-type winger. I don't know. I don't want to get caught up in comparables, but what would frighten teams off, I suppose, from taking a guy like Nick Ritchie?
Two things in my mind would stand out. He's played three full years in the OHL now. He's a late 95 birth date, and he's never really been a dominant force at the OHL level. And so that's one thing. And the second thing is the reason he's never been a dominant force is because he doesn't bring it every night. His effort level and his work ethic is inconsistent. When he decides to turn it on, then he is dominant. But there's long periods and stretches where he'll just, if you don't poke the bear with a stick and wake him up, he'll just be out there skating around.
Mm-hmm. And you wonder how, can some of that be when you are 6'3", 230 and playing junior hockey, like you say, against, you've done it for 3 years. You need to be a self-motivator, but how much of it can it be, at least physically, that he's ready for a new challenge in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, we see that happen with players each year. Sometimes, boredom sets in at a particular level of hockey, and they feel like they've got nothing left to prove. So it can certainly be that sort of thing. But with a guy who's got that kind of size and pretty good skills, too, I mean, I would just like to have seen him at some point over a three-year, OHL career have a really dominant stretch of at least 20 to 30 games where he was clearly the best player on the ice for his team, or any team, and I haven't seen that out of him.
Yeah. In general, and it's, you don't ever want to, they are kids, but it really feels like this is kind of a quiet draft class. Last year, I think we're going to find out some pretty good players, and obviously with the top two guys set to go next year, they would probably both be number one picks this year. But do you, how do you think we'll look back on this draft? Do you think there's a chance that it won't maybe be as mild as it's anticipated?
No, I do think it's a weaker crop. We tend to rate the draft in tiers, and we've got that top tier of four, and then there's another grouping of eight or nine that gets you down to about 13, and then another grouping of eight or nine that gets you down to about 21 or 22, and then things kind of fall off the table at that point.
Yeah.
That's why I think you'll see teams late in the first round, in that bottom third of the first round, you'll see names that you would never have expected. Guys are going to fall in love with a particular player and say, hey, this is our only shot at getting this player, so we better step up and take him.
So Paul Reinhardt played for the Flames. Max Reinhardt is a Calgary Flame, and maybe Sam Reinhardt will complete the trifecta come June, or the end of this month, I suppose.
Very possible.
Very possible. Hey, Kyle, I'm really glad we've been trying to get a hold of you, and you're somewhat hard. You're not on Twitter. That's how we do things nowadays, right?
We actually are on Twitter. We've been on Twitter for about 2 years now.
Well, I mean, you personally, you're hard to nail down on Twitter.
My scouts are always posting on our Twitter account,
yeah.
but I'm not big on Twitter myself.
Well, we want to go right to the top, Kyle. You see, that's really great to have you on, Kyle. Thanks for the perspective, and maybe one more time before the end of June, we'll maybe look to pick your brain if that's all right.
Not a problem.
Hey, thanks, Kyle.
All right, guys.
You bet. Kyle Woodley from the Redline Report.